Ni hao! It's the Loftus Party! Ni hao! That's hello for our listeners in China. As the Loftus Party show continues to grow and grow and grow, what are you going to do when the biggest ni hao in America?
When the biggest hello?
When the biggest hello comes over to see you. Welcome to the show, everybody. I'm Michael Loftus once again this week, joined by my cohorts, Jason Anarino.
Hello. Ni hao.
Ni hao. And we got Andrew Apple over here.
Welcome, welcome, welcome,
as
one
the,
and all.
The voice of reason. The voice of reason in an otherwise crazy world.
We really should try to focus on getting Chinese listeners.
Yeah.
There's so many of them. We would just.
Like, all you need is like 2%,
and you'd have like a billion.
It's the biggest show on the planet. Listen, we've got 0.5% of the Chinese market.
We'd be huge.
We're the Transformers of podcasts.
Yes. Oh, what? How does that metaphor work?
I don't understand.
The movie Transformers. Did you watch Transformers 4?
Listen, now, okay, don't get me started on those movies.
Okay.
That is a horrible, horrible thing.
Okay.
The Transformers, what they've done with that franchise is horrible, horrible, horrible. But go ahead and finish with your Transformers. The one in China.
Yeah.
That ends in China.
Yes.
And why does it end in China?
Because that's what Michael Bay decided they
did. Boom. There you go. That was the most blatant form of, this movie needs a global market. Let's set this unnecessary scene that doesn't move the story forward at all in China.
Yeah.
Just so the Chinese people be like, oh, that's my neighborhood. Look, Optimus Prime. I'm offending everybody.
Yeah. You just lost our billions of Chinese listeners.
Turn it off, man. yeah, the Transformers. Here's the deal with Transformers. And Michael Bay, blah, 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 blah. He didn't want to do those movies.
No.
He didn't.
No.
He's like, no, thank you. And Steven Spielberg's like, dude, come on. Steven Spielberg had to beg him to do it. And then so Michael Bay does the first Transformers. I think Spielberg was kind of there, looking over his shoulder a little bit, blah,
yeah,
blah, 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 and helping him. And that's the only good one of those movies.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Then after that, the more, like, they just, as a writer, I hate it. Like, in the second movie and in the third movie, they're just killing Transformers. Willy-nilly. It doesn't mean anything. It's
no.
Just like they've done a survey, and they find it's best if the audience is sad at this moment, so that, you know, so that in the third act, Optimus Prime can do whatever. So they just randomly kill a beloved character. They did it in the first movie, too.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't need to kill that character. They just did it, mm-hmm. You know, just for fun. And that's, I can't stand that. I can't stand it. I'm very passionate about movies. And this is actually a great, I don't know if this was planned or unplanned, but my big thing, I got a sneak peek at the Wizarding World of Harry Potter.
Ooh.
At Universal in Los Angeles. It was crazy, and here's what I love about it. I love it when the artist wins, right? They're like, there's no person who, like, single-handedly came up with the Transformers, right? That was a toy company that did it, blah, 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 blah. They built in a story, blah, 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 blah. But, like, J.K. Rowling, I have so much respect for her, and this is, like, to me, it's capitalism and entrepreneurial spirit at its finest. You know, she is down on your luck, you know, on the welfare. She writes these books, blah, 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 blah. She's super rich. They want to make a movie. She says, no, thank you. I need to have control about this because I know Hollywood will ruin it. So she stuck to her guns. The movies were fantastic. Now they're like, we want to do a ride and a whole theme park thing. And she goes, well, I'm going to have to be behind it. She stuck to her guns, and so my kids and I, we have the season pass, because it's the value, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's like,
yeah,
it's a lot of money to get into a theme park, but if you live, like, right down the road from one, get the flipping season pass. You're going to save a boatload of money.
Go three times, it pays for itself.
So I go for the season passes the other day. My kids are on spring break. We go just to re-up them, and it was really expensive.
But it was really fun, too.
So we go in the park, and I'll be doggone if the wonderful Wizarding World of Harry Potter, it was open, dude. It's not supposed to open until April 7th. It was open the other day.
You got the beta testing run of the park.
I did.
No lines.
No. It was like a 10-minute line to get into the big, like, 3D ride, the Quidditch match, blah, 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 blah. They have all the stuff. I got these wands, like, and, like, you I got a Severus Snape wand.
Ooh.
Right? I don't want to be a bad guy, but it looked cool.
What,
right?
Was he a bad guy?
You know what? Don't spoiler alert. I still have not read or seen the last two movies.
This is the hardest you have failed.
I know. The entire I know. Time I have to. You. I have to. I know. It's horrible. I feel bad about it. But like right now, I'm in the process of getting caught up because I've got the Harry Potter fee. This theme park is amazing. I feel like they should be sponsoring the show. As much as I want to talk about this and nothing else.
We could talk about Harry Potter.
Dude, my wand, you open, it comes in a box, just like in the movie. and
a label on it and everything.
And if you want, you can go into this one shop and you get into a line and they do the sorting hat thing, you know, yeah. And the saddle, oh, yeah. You know, Hufflepuff, Gryffindor, blah, yeah. Blah, blah. I'm terrified. I'm terrified to do it. I don't want to be in House Slytherin. I don't want like, and my kids witness that. Like, you're a bad guy, Daddy. So the wand is some kind of crazy technology. You stand on a certain spot. You make a series of moves with the wand. The flipping lights will come on at the top of the Harry Potter world.
What
the,
if a bunch
castle.
Of people have wands and they're all trying to make the lights? Does it?
I think it's only one spot at a time. So somebody can turn the lights on and then they have to move and then somebody else.
Oh, I got you.
So you can ring bells. You can activate. So it's like you're doing magic for crying. J.K. Rowling stuck to her guns and it is awesome. If you are looking for a family vacation, something fun to do, get and your kids are into Harry Potter. Oh, my Lord. And I think they're going to make some money. I think Universal might make a little bit of money. You can get the robe. How much is a Harry Potter robe? What's the name of the school?
Hogwarts.
Hogwarts. And the official Hogwarts robe. What are you gonna spend on that?
Are we talking in Harry Potter gold coins or actual dollars?
We're talking U.S. dollars.
U.S. dollars. I'd probably drop, you know, a good C note on that.
There you go. $100. $100. You want a Hogwarts sweater?
Mm-hmm.
Booyah. $90. Scarf. $80. That, I think, is pushing it.
You know, Harry Potter is amazing because I'm a fan of literature. I read a lot of literature, and I think that
and by that, literature, you mean books, right?
Comic books.
Seriously.
Coloring
like,
books.
We're on Dicey, like people call comic books. Oh, I read graphic novels.
No. I read classic lit. I read a lot of literature.
Okay.
Penguin classics, stuff like that.
There you go. So, I read Riddler classics, Joker classics.
Here's what what's amazing to me is how many people that you wouldn't think are into Harry Potter are into it. It is truly classic literature for our generation. I'm at Starbucks one day and I see this big tough biker looking dude and he's reading a book and just out of curiosity I'm like, dude, what are you reading? He's like, Harry Potter. And I'm like, I got to read these books. How is like everybody's reading these books? I haven't read them.
They're fun.
Yeah.
They must be great.
And here's the amazing thing. Like, when I was a little kid, I was way into Lord of the Rings. Like, I read The Hobbit.
That was
my
thing.
I had no one to share that with.
Yeah.
Like, none of my buddies were into it, and I knew that, like, if I said I was into it, there would be some judgment.
Really? Because I'm okay with it.
Well, now you are. There's a series. There's hit movies and blah, blah, blah. And now there's a thing called the internet. What an amazing time kids live in. Because if you're into something, there's the internet. And you can find a kajillion other people. Let's say you like right-of-center comedy shows, and you don't know where you can go on the internet. You find the flip side. And then you go to the flip side website and you find out where to watch it. And you find out, oh my gosh, this great comedy show is on U2 America and it's on FETV and they've got nationwide coverage.
Yep.
So you've got that.
And a lot of little kids are looking for that.
But like when I was a kid, like way into Lord of the Rings, there was no like amusement park that was like insanely realistic.
There was no internet.
Insanely realistic. Yeah, there was no internet. I remember when my friend Mei Li Esberg, Chinese Jewish girl.
Ming Hao, or what was it?
Ni Hao. Her dad was a computer guy, and he was like, they were the first family I ever knew with the internet.
Yeah.
And I remember him explaining it to me. He goes like, now this computer is actually talking to another computer, and that's where. So you're not playing. It was like chess. We were playing chess.
Mm-hmm.
You're not playing chess on this computer. It's another computer, and they're talking together. And I'm like, that's crazy. It's like Star Trek in here.
It'll never catch on.
My buddy Jack had like one of the first like 2,000 names on AOL. Remember when you get the AOL discs in the mail like 40 hours?
I remember
free.
That.
Yeah. Now we're going down memory lane. Anyway, the Harry Potter thing is amazing. You definitely got to go. It's so much fun. I can't wait to go back. We went back yesterday, and it wasn't open yet. The big opening is April 7th. We just got incredibly lucky. We went in, and they were like, you know, literally like beta testing.
Did you know
it.
That this was going to – did you just show up and you're like, oh, my gosh.
It was like Christmas in March. It was insane. It was like the luckiest, most wonderful thing ever. So like, dude, I'm flying through the money. I'm like, we got to get the wands. We got to have a thing of butter beer. We got to go over here. We got to get a chocolate frog and correct. We just crushed it. We crushed it. I didn't do the sweaters and the.
Okay.
But I got a Gryffindor. I got this sweet like Gryffindor T-shirt, right? It's
just totally. What is Gryffindor?
Gryffindor is like we're the good guys.
We're gonna go way too far down the rabbit hole if we start explaining to you everything. You just got to read the book.
Yeah. See, it doesn't seem like on the surface it would be appealing to me, but the more I hear people love it, the more interested and fascinated I am by it.
It is a here's the thing, and it's like, and this is what I'm trying to do with the Loftus Party and the website that'll be coming out very soon. There's no like artistic community for people who like think politically the way we do, mm-hmm. right? There's no like right of center, like, hey, we're like-minded people, you've got an idea. I like that whole idea of like an artistic co-op where people can share ideas and mm-hmm. like it's like being a stand-up. And I think this is where it comes from. Like if you go to New York and do stand-up, And first of all, you're going to get the hi hat from a lot of the other, like the regulars.
Yeah.
You go on stage, you're funny. You come off stage, and dudes will be like, "Hey, that was pretty funny. That bit that you did about the BMW and the VW bus. You could say this at the end. They'll start giving you punchlines and helping you out. You're part of a community of comedians. You don't really get that in LA because the stakes are so high.
Yeah.
But in most comedy clubs across the country, there's like this like fraternity of stand-ups. You know what I'm talking about, Jason?
Yeah, definitely.
But like, there's nothing like that for like conservative, and there needs to be a home for that, you know? And so. I'm always rooting for like the artist to win, and when things are, you know, done by a committee, they're usually ruined. And that's what I like about Harry Potter and Lord of the Rings. Like if you would test the opening chapter of Harry Potter, you'd give it to a Hollywood think tank, they would kill it. They're like, well, it can't be that bad. His parents can't be dead, and he's living under the stairs with his. That's a little mean. How about he's got a small? You know, they would
change everything.
Right. So I just like it when somebody has a vision and they stick through it, and it works out for them. It's great. That's capitalism. That's she took the risk. She gets the reward. I don't care that she's richer than the Queen of England. I really don't care.
No, she's a good person.
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Yay. Hooray, capitalism. Yay, hooray, Harry
Potter. How many
Potter.
Harry Potter books are there?
7.
And then one more just came out. She just did a prequel.
So, technically, within the canon of the actual Harry Potter books, there are 7. There is also Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, which is sort of a spin-off that they're turning into 3 movies. And then there is Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, which is a play that is currently in London.
There's a lot of Harry Potter.
And they released the script as a book.
Wow.
Yeah, here's the wonderful thing. She's like the George Lucas of this. She has this whole universe worked out in her mind, just like George Lucas has Star Wars worked out in his mind. And that's the other, this makes me nervous as a Star Wars fan. And I think it makes George Lucas. I'm a little worried about Star Wars. I think when Disney gets a hold of the Force, some Disney things are going to happen.
Definitely.
And listen, you can't like pick up a house with the Force. Like Yoda could pick up a spaceship.
Yeah, but
he was like
him.
Yeah.
He picked up a spaceship, but then he needed a nap.
He
didn't just throw it around willy-nilly.
He was like 800 years old, though, too.
So here's why I disagree with you. Because the movies...
On what?
The movies cannot be bad. The movies, no matter what, need to be something that the fans enjoy. They need to stay canon, or people are going to stop showing up.
Yes.
Because the real money in Star Wars is, was, and always has been in the ancillary products.
The merchandising. Right.
The merchandising. You know, that's the reason why we had BB-8 branded oranges this time around.
Yeah.
As long as people are going to see the movies, Disney is going to let the movies be the movies because they can make so much more money off of the lightsabers.
Yeah, that's true. That's absolutely true.
Hmm.
Who would be a better president? Luke Skywalker? Obi-Wan Kenobi?
I'm going Kenobi.
Me too.
Definitely.
Yeah, I was like, as it came out of my mouth,
he's
Mike,
more
that's
seasoned.
A stupid question. Better president? Obi-Wan Kenobi? Yoda?
Yoda.
Yoda.
No.
Why do you say that?
Because Yoda's like, it happened, must happen, it must be. Yoda's going to sit back and just like let things go because that's what the Force wants. Obi-Wan Kenobi's going to be like, we need to keep NATO alive.
Now, if we're talking prequel Yoda, I think we're going to be okay. Yoda, who's like very introspective but knows
like Clone Wars Yoda?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, maybe.
Yeah.
He was a hermit, so.
Better president, Harry Potter, Frodo Baggins.
Harry Potter.
Absolutely. That was a stupid one, too. Yeah.
I only know Frodo, but I wouldn't say he'd be a great president.
Okay, better president. Darth Vader, Gollum.
Ooh, Darth Vader.
Yeah, Darth Vader. At least he's got some military experience.
Military experience.
Gollum must be like, really? I can't do Gollum.
The Gollum State of the Union address?
Yeah. Is that a good year? No, it was horrible. Shut up, you.
You know, this is actually the perfect segue to talk about what I'm calling presidential primary fun time.
Okay,
we need theme music for
presidential
this.
Primary fun time.
Yeah.
Presidential primary fun time. You were supposed to bring your guitar.
I got it.
You did?
Yeah.
All right. We owe the listeners a Bernie Sanders song. I was listening. We got to finish that thing.
All right.
But now we're just gonna have to do presidential primary fun time. Presidential primary fun time. Andrew, what do you got?
We spent a lot of money on that theme song there.
We have to join BMI.
Nobody knows what that means.
We have to join ASCAP.
Okay, so we had a bunch of town halls this week.
Yes.
We had the CNN town hall that was moderated by Anderson Cooper.
I missed that one.
Okay, so the main thing about that one is that if you walked in and you already liked Donald Trump or you already liked Ted Cruz, you walked out liking Donald Trump or Ted Cruz. Same thing if you didn't like them.
Yeah, yeah.
John Kasich, I think, made a pretty good showing.
Yeah, John Kasich, I'm here. I'm just going to stand up for a while. I hope that's okay. My dad's a postman.
Well, what
I went to Burger King. Go ahead.
What he's referring to is the fact that CNN didn't do anyone any favors with this town hall because they took questions from the audience, but the way that the candidates were sitting, they kind of had to sit in an awkward position to look everywhere in the audience. And Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, they both ended up getting, you know, just kind of sitting there making it work. John Kasich, he stood up.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if you watched the last season of The West Wing where they had the town hall debate between Matthew Santos and Arnold Vinnick. Apparently.
Wow, you lost me there.
I have no idea what
you're
talking about.
Was Martin Sheen any one of those characters?
No, that was Jimmy Smits and Alan Alda were in the last season running.
How do you know when a show's in its final season?
Jimmy Smits
joined the cast.
He shows up and he's the nail in the coffin of Hollywood.
But that's what John Kasich basically did. It's like he knew how to kind of work the room.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah.
You know what? I got to tell you, like, I have not made up my mind. There are people that I like in the moment, and like we were talking about in the last show, I haven't found my perfect person yet.
Yeah.
I haven't found my
Obama.
What
do you think about Gary Johnson at 11% this week? That's kind of wild.
What is up with that?
11%?
I've never even
That's
heard
huge.
Of this dude.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's a libertarian. You'd love him.
Right, right.
Friday night there was the libertarian debate on Fox Business Network.
With John Stossel.
Yep.
Right. April 1st.
Yeah.
When it wasn't a joke, it was a real thing.
Yeah, I think they
didn't
did that
do
on
any
purpose.
April Fool stuff this year. Well, not one.
So this is actually one place where, and I was going to save this for Michaeltopia, but I think it kind of plays well now.
Okay.
A couple of the candidates decided that they wanted to get in on the April Fool's game.
Oh, boy.
No way.
Yeah. It was...
Is that how Trump is protecting his abortion response?
No.
April Fool's.
No. Ted Cruz, he decided to try and Rickroll everyone. And it went even worse.
What did he do?
Imagine.
What did he do?
So he puts out a video that says Donald Trump agrees to debate Ted Cruz. And they show about 30 seconds of Ted Cruz and Donald Trump clicks, and then we're no strangers to love.
He Rickroll. Well, it didn't go over though.
No, it wasn't a good Rickroll because it's a good Rickroll. You walk into something really excited, and then you see Rick Astley.
Okay.
This was not a very good job, and you know,
never gonna give you up.
Never gonna let you down. How did he get on TV?
Well, if you'll notice, like he's gone.
Yeah,
right? He's gone.
No, he's still here. We're talking about him now.
Right. He exists in our imaginations. But if you'll notice, the Muppets went away.
Mm-hmm.
Rick Astley appeared.
Uh-huh.
The Muppets come back. Rick Astley's gone.
Are you saying Rick Astley is a Muppet?
He is Kermit the Frog.
Never gonna let you down. Never. Why is it so easy being green? It's the same guy,
it makes
Jason.
Sense.
It's the same guy.
I just want to learn that Rick Astley dance.
Never gonna run around and desert you. Piggy, put your finger... Never mind.
Nope.
Whoa.
No.
Hogwarts.
No. Hogwarts.
I got a case of the Hogwarts.
But also, our good old friend...
Miss Piggy gave me
all right,
Hogwarts.
All right. All right,
sorry.
Our good old friend Rand Paul took to Twitter and for about 15 seconds made it seem like he was going to try and endorse Donald Trump. And then he didn't.
Oh, jeez. Don't do it. Don't do it. Well, don't do it. It's like wearing jeans. Don't try to do. I think I've talked about this before on the show. I know a couple people. I literally know a couple people who are like up for the job of like helping Ted Cruz out for comedy. And I'm like, don't. Don't.
No.
Please don't. Please, I'm begging you, don't.
No. And
you're either funny or you're not.
Well, and
you can help people kind of be funnier. But you're not going to be like, hey, tell a joke like this. You're going to cry. And like politicians, no, don't. If it's not in your wheelhouse, don't do it. It's fake. And that's what people hate. They hate the fraudulentness of it.
Yeah, because Reagan was actually a funny guy.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, he didn't need joke writers. He had stories and jokes of his own. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
Some of them were take-homes.
I'm intrigued with this Gary Johnson guy. Tell me more about this dude.
Well, 11% for a libertarian is crazy high.
But what's he saying?
You would like him. He's basically a hands-off, small government, keep your tax money guy. You know, he's good. From what I've researched on the guy, he seems pretty good to me.
Now, is he like an isolationist kind of guy? Because that's what always, like, the Ron Paul thing. I'm like, that's where you lose me, dude. Like, we can't...
Well, what we're doing is kind of imperialism. We're
which I'm...
There are places we should not be at war.
Where should we not be?
I mean, we really don't need to be anywhere. Nobody's going to mess with us, Michael.
I think we need to be in Germany. I think we need to be in Japan. We got to protect, oddly enough, it's weird, those like the...
If they want the us there, but I'm talking II. About places that don't want us there.
Well, I tell you, just really quickly,
no,
I'm watching the news today, and I make these jokes, and I do these little monologues on the TV show, The Flip Side, and it's amazing how, like, they come true. Like, I joked about, like, we remember the monologue we did about Sharia land?
Yeah.
And let's give half of Syria to ICE. I seriously, the more I look at, like, how the Middle East is going, like, that's a really good solution.
Yeah.
I still think so. Just like, here you go, the bottom half of Syria, whatever. There, you guys have it. Live in Sharia law. And when people are acting crazy in Belgium and they're acting crazy across Europe and like, we want Sharia law, congratulations, we have it. Here it is.
Here's your ticket.
It's the bottom half of Syria.
We bought you a ticket to Sharia land.
Sharia land. Go enjoy. It's the 14th century.
So in an ideal world... you are 100% correct, and we've seen this kind of playing out in the Middle East for many years.
Yeah.
And the argument that people generally make for a two-state solution in Israel is exactly what you're saying. But the argument against it is, well, if all these people wanted was their own little Disneyland where they owned it and they could run it however they want, great, let's give them a plot of land. They live over there. We live over here. Everyone's happy.
Yes.
But... that's not what they seem to actually want. They want everyone to think the way that they
do. But here's what they get. They get a little hunk of Syria, which is Sharia land.
Yep.
And then we
and
nuke
then
it.
I get...
That's I my get, solution.
I get an excuse and a well-thought-out reason to give people an invitation to go there. Like, right, you're driving down the street in some horrible neighborhood in England, and some guy's like, you know, we should have Sharia law in England. Like, guess what? We don't. England has its own thing. Mm-hmm. We're under Prime Minister Harry Potter's law.
Right.
You, if you really want Sharia law, here you go. One-way ticket to Sharia land.
I'm guessing Sharia land's not going to have a big tourism boom.
You know what? I don't think so.
I'm not vacationing there.
I don't think a lot of people will. But when I see them do like what is it, Palmyra, these ancient ruins that they just they're hell bent on destroying.
It's
these
unbelievably
ancient,
sick.
It really
it's
is.
Sick, yeah.
It really is. And then listen in stock with it. Don't do the angry emails. Yes, the loss of life is the worst. That's the worst. You know, what they're they're killing and blah, 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 blah. But it's also, for some reason, like the little Indiana Jones in me is like, this belongs in a museum. You know, you want to kill the evil Nazi that's destroying it. And that's what I want to do. I want to give them all a ticket to Sharia land and go enjoy yourselves. If that's really how you want to live, mm-hmm. then you can live that way. I'm like you.
Yes.
I ultimately think it's world domination.
Yeah.
It's like old school, like the original. And unfortunately, we live in times where it happens. Transportation technology has caught up. If you look at history, every 400 years, some wackadoodle, totally crazy Islamic extremist radical dude gets going, and they start some trouble, and the rest of the Muslim community in the Middle East goes, all right, this has gone far enough, and they squash it. Every 400 years, you can practically set your watch by it. Mm-hmm. And now, in this cycle, there's planes. And there's trains, and the world is a much smaller place. Yeah, they don't, like, this whole thing of, like, well, we'll just keep them in their own little section. That doesn't work anymore. So if Gary Johnson is into that, that's the only thing that really scares me about libertarians, is they always seem to be not concerned about the rest of the world.
I've always been of the belief that having an incredibly strong military is wildly important, and mm-hmm. it needs to be the hand of diplomacy. Not the alternative. Like what Ted Cruz is getting up, and part of the reason I don't like him, and he's talking about carpet bombing and having more than 12 airstrikes a day. I don't understand that.
That's just a dude. That's just like the whole carpet bombing thing. That's one of the things that I don't like about Ted Cruz either. Yeah. It's just like somebody who's just talking to be talking and he wants to sound tough.
Yeah.
It's the same problem I have with Donald Trump where he wants to sound tough and he's like waterboarding. We'll do worse than waterboarding.
Right.
And then somebody comes and like, listen, like, I'm sure somebody went to Ted Cruz. Like you honestly can't carpet bomb.
Yeah.
You just don't. And you can't do it.
He did backtrack those statements a little bit on CNN.
And just like Donald Trump is like, yeah, I'm not going to do the worse than waterboarding thing anymore. And then like, but still, like once you say something like this, they're going to use it against you till the end of time.
You could even say, I am not for that anymore. I was misspoke. And they'll go, yeah, he said it.
I'm watching John Stossel, oddly enough. It must have been a repeat last night because he was talking about the libertarian debate thing.
Yep.
And they're talking about like, what's the worst campaign promise you've heard and it's like some guy writes into Stossel, the worst campaign promise I heard is like that Donald Trump would make my brothers and sisters in the armed forces commit treason by torturing a prisoner of war.
Oh, please.
And I'm like, hey,
dummy.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
You were about to say something really heavy. I was
hey,
like,
dummy.
It's a family show.
He didn't really mean that. And that's why that just drives me crazy. And then Donald Trump, getting back to the town halls.
He got himself in trouble.
Oh, my gosh.
So
just the worst on Chris Matthews.
I didn't see it. What happened?
So the long and the short of it was.
The long and the short of it is this. He answered hypothetical questions.
Oh, terrible idea.
Episode one mm-hmm. of this show,
yep.
I said politicians need to stop answering hypothetical questions. Andrew, take it from here.
Essentially, he was talking to Chris Matthews about abortion, and Chris Matthews, in his very classic style, did not let Donald Trump do what he does best.
He just keeps going. Keeps niddling.
Yeah.
Really, really fast. Where'd you get that sweater? How much did you pay for that sweater?
Yeah.
That sweater, hand-made cotton? Did you get that in India? Is that in America? I don't want to talk about the sweater. Tell him about the sweater. He's like, Chris Matthews is just like a pit bull.
So he just kept saying, do you think there needs to be a punishment for women who get abortions? And Trump dodged it.
What kind of question is that? Do you think there should be a punishment?
Yeah.
For women?
That's
an odd question.
Well, Trump is very openly
punishing women for how did he
Chris
even,
Matthews do?
Yeah, because
Chris
Trump
Matthews
has openly
they just
said
out
he's
of the
pro-life.
Blue said we
well,
should,
because they were talking about the fact that Trump
is question
pro-life.
Designed.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. This is not Chris
question.
Matthews' first rodeo.
No.
It is Donald Trump's.
Yes.
And Donald Trump walked into a minefield, and they just exploded left and right.
If I was Trump, I'd say, I think there should be a punishment for you asking that stupid question. What's wrong with you?
But instead he said, yes, I think there needs to be some form of punishment for women who get abortions.
Is there any politician who would, I think we need to punish women who get abortions?
Donald Trump.
Yes.
I saw him say it on MSNBC.
I see. Now you could say that, yeah.
Exactly.
Goofy.
Exactly. And it, that's
he
me.
Hates women.
Yep, and he's already trying to walk it back and make it nice. Listen, politicians, listeners of the Loftus Party, if you have a relative who is thinking about going into politics or a brother or a friend, here's what you need to tell them. Never, ever, ever answer the hypothetical question.
Oh, yeah.
It never comes out well. It never comes out well. Because that's all they're talking about on MSNBC.
I bet.
And Hillary is just like, she's like doing the Heisman Trophy stance. You know, she's spiking the ball in the end zone. I don't believe women should be punished for having it. It's just, they are just going to make a mountain out of it. Trump's, he's in real trouble. He's in real trouble. He did not do himself any favors.
No.
And what was the other, like NATO? And he's like playing fast and loose with nukes. And like, they're making it sound like everybody gets a nuke. Japan gets nukes. You get a nuke. Everybody, nuke,
that's
nuke,
wild.
Nuke, nuke. Everywhere a nuke, nuke. Old McDonald had a nuke. Donald Trump gave it to him.
Donald Trump wants to give nukes to these people?
Well, no, I think so.
Donald Trump wants to pull out of NATO completely. He thinks that it's archaic. And he's correct in the one thing that he said, which is we're the ones who are primarily funding it.
We are funding NATO. And we should just do it ourselves. Why are we?
Well, you know, this is one of the things that I like that John Kasich said. He basically said, we're America, we're number one, we're the best, and when you're number one, you have to take care of other people. It's just part of the fact. Some of them are going to want it, some of them aren't, but when you're the biggest and the best in the world, you have to look out for your other partners. It's hard to argue with that.
But here's what I want to say about, like, NATO and the United Nations. Like, when all this was going, isn't the Ukraine like a NATO partner? Like, weren't we, like, morally obligated to help them out when they were, like, Russia was invading?
Yeah,
like,
but so is
we
Russia.
We did nothing. We did nothing. Oh, my gosh.
Michael, do you think there should be punishments for politicians that...
Yes, yes.
See?
There should be punishments.
I knew it.
There should be punishments.
Michael, if a dog bites you on a Thursday, and you go to the doctor...
Uh-huh.
And he says that he's just not going to help you. Should the doctor be penalized?
You
hate dogs.
I don't know. Here's what I
know. Hate the hypothetical thing, though. I really do. And I see it all the time.
Like,
coming up with these hypothetical questions
are
designed to, that there's no right answer to, like, you're screwed if you just even address it.
You know where you need to base your mantra off of when you get answered a hypothetical question?
What's that?
A Supreme Court nominee. Because if you go back, they will never, ever say anything about their policy. They will always give the exact same response. I can't comment on how I would rule one way or another because it's based on the situation.
Yeah, that's smart.
And every single Supreme Court nominee who has said that has gotten approved and has gotten onto
so
the bench.
So Trump should have said, look, I'm not going to talk about this policy.
Right.
Maybe
it turns into an ego thing. With Trump, and this is what has a lot of Americans worried about, the ego.
Mm-hmm.
How would he be? I think he went toe to toe with Chris Matthews. Chris Matthews is like, okay, you're a smart guy, I'm a smart guy, here you go. So it becomes like a who's smarter. And when Chris Matthews keeps pressing the point, well, if you're not going to answer, I must be smarter. If you can't answer, I must be smarter. So Donald Trump, letting his ego get in the way, goes, I'm going to go ahead and answer that because I'm smart too, buddy. And then boom, that is the trap. It is the classic. It's like the last 10 minutes of Law and Order when people think that they're smarter than Sam Watterson.
And nobody's smarter than Hang'em High McCoy.
Ew, dung, dung.
Amazing.
30 minutes in. Dung, dung. It's going swimmingly well.
It is.
I have the things that I want to talk about. This Gary Johnson guy, I'm intrigued. I'm going to do some research on him. We are going to do a Bernie Sanders song. It's not going to be next. Not going to be this week. We're going to try to get that to you in the next 2 weeks. The Wizarding World of Harry Potter. That was wonderful. Hey, you guys, good news. Todd Palin is home. He's out of the hospital. I don't know the nature of his injuries, but Sarah Palin was...
What happened to Todd Palin?
He was in a snow machine accident. And here's what I love. They're snowmobiles.
Yes.
Okay? They're flipping snowmobiles.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Sarah Palin did a thing, like, 8 years ago, whenever she was, like, super-duper relevant. And she's like, they're snow machines, okay? Mm-hmm. They're snow machines. So, like, everybody changed. Everybody changed because, like, Sarah Palin told him to. Hey, guess what? It's a snowmobile.
I know it is a snowmobile.
That's right.
I've never heard of a snow machine. I think that's a Zamboni.
No, that's an ice machine. And a snow machine
machine's where you get your ice at the 7-Eleven. It's all confusing. I don't know.
An ice polishing machine?
Something's
is a Zamboni. A snow machine is when they make fake snow at a ski resort in California.
What about a snow cone machine?
Snow cone machine is something you pay way too much for that doesn't really work
yeah.
that
but
well.
I remember when they pour that little syrup on
my
it.
Neighbor, my
It's
that's
delicious.
Good, but you need so much syrup, it's stupid. Yeah, you need so much syrup, it like drips through that little paper thing they give you. It's like, come on, you think you can come up with a new way to do the snow
We're
cone?
Way off topic.
My friends as a little kid, they had the Snoopy snow cone maker.
Yep.
I thought that was like the luckiest thing ever. Like it made like a thimbleful of shaved ice, and I think we used all the syrup on the one. Just give me the grape syrup. Snoopy says it's okay.
It's a snow machine. That's horrible.
He wrecked it, man.
You know, it's funny, though, that you mention Sarah Palin's coming back. You've seen this?
She is not coming
back. She's coming back.
Listen, okay.
She's going to be a judge.
Tirade. I can fix all of these people. This is what's so frustrating for me to watch the news. I could go to Donald Trump's house and just smack him around and go, listen, dude, do some homework. All right? I know you think you're a super brilliant, like, genius guy.
Yep.
You got to do some homework. You're going to have to crack some books and know what you're talking about. Stop answering hypothetical questions. John Kasich, okay? This guy is missing so many great pitches. Like, they're literally trying to help him.
Yeah.
Everybody's trying to help him like you help out the special needs kids at the dodgeball game. And he just...
A little rough, but okay.
And he just can't seem to do it. Like, how can I get your vote? How can you get my vote, John Kasich? They say on town hall. Let me tell you something about myself. I'm postman. I'm going to clean your carburetor out. You need a new muffler on there. And my economic policy, we got to find. And he's like doing the classic, I got a 5-point plan to rebuild, and it starts with jobs and education and schools. Like, no, dude. Stop with the 5-point plans, and it all starts with education. And I don't want to talk about the problem in 50 years. I want to talk about the problem today. And that's what people, I think, like about Donald Trump. You know what I'm going to do? Boom. Build a wall. Moving on. Like, how are you going to fix the problem now? And John Kasich, we got a 5-point plan, and we're going to stimulate the economy, and we're going to invest in schools, and no child left behind. No. What are you going to do today? John Kasich won't talk about what he's going to do today. Ted Cruz, all he'll talk about what he's not going to do today. That guy, it's so, I got to look into Gary Johnson. Maybe that's my guy. I don't know.
I think he is a bit of an isolationist, yeah. But you know what? We don't really need to be in all these places that don't want us.
Oh, and here's the other one. I just want to make sure I say this out
of
loud.
Course.
If somebody can get to Ted Cruz for me, please. I do know some people who are kind of involved with his campaign, but his little Morning in America and his little fakey little way of delivering that line. Oh, man. I want to roll up a newspaper and smack him in the back of the head. Thank you for coming here. And if you vote for me, I'm going to bring us all together. And it will once again be morning in America. Whack! Just stop saying that.
Can you introduce me to your sister? How about this guy?
Now, was that better or worse than when he plagiarized Aaron Sorkin?
Oh, my gosh. Did you see that?
I heard about this. He used
totally,
a line out of a movie?
Not a line. He lifted a scene out of, like, yeah. American President.
Yeah.
Well, that's
yeah,
smart.
That's
he wants
exactly
to look presidential.
I put it on my Facebook. I totally. It's, like, back to
back. I got to see this.
It's, like, the most embarrassing.
Word for word.
Word for word.
Yep.
He just takes out the Sorkin.
You know he had a speechwriter going, this is fire. You're going to love it.
It's Michael Douglas defending his wife's honor in, is it an American president?
It's American president. He's talking about Annette Bening's character.
Yeah. And he's defending, and if he wants to have a, if you can pick on me and you can pick on my policies, but if you pick on, insert name of Ted Cruz's wife, then you're picking on, it's like he literally like lifted it. Right?
You want a character to debate, Bob? You better stick with me, because Sidney Ellen Wade is way out of your league.
And if Donald wants to get in a character fight, he's better off sticking with me, because Heidi is way out of his league.
Word for word.
Yeah.
Where does these people come from that are running for president?
And here's the other thing that I think, and this is like why Hillary stayed away from it, and Bernie. And Bernie's getting scary, by the way. Mm-hmm. That dude's really, like, he's gaining.
Yes, he is.
He's gaining. I think we got to have some kind of a little infomercial that we put on about the wonders of socialism. Like people need to know. Like, the stuff that he's talking about, it doesn't lead anywhere good.
No.
And
it's not. It's
you've
not.
Got
a, it's not a long
competition
trip.
Because he is, this week, he's shooting a commercial with Spike Lee.
Oh, of course he is.
Yes.
Of course he is.
Nobody will see it.
I get it.
Because you ever try to watch it?
Some way Spike Lee will turn into a basketball thing.
Oh, dude, it's not going to
be playing like one-on-one with Jordan or something.
Nobody will see more than 20 seconds of it because any movie I saw from Spike Lee, I fall asleep 10 minutes in. Boy, what
really?
A loose. Oh, my
and
goodness.
And we just lost our entire African-American audience.
Well, that's like four people. So
you
I
didn't
think
like Malcolm
right.
X?
That's the one movie I thought was okay, but still, it wasn't the most exciting. He could have actually edited a little better. But yeah, no, Spike Lee is not...
You can make some cuts there.
Definitely.
You know what? I could take a good half hour out of Malcolm X.
By the way, Malcolm X absolutely hated Democrats and the Democratic Party. Absolutely hated them.
Really?
Oh, he said that they're taking advantage of black people. They're posing as their saviors when they're really hurting. Their policies hurt them. He said, man, he said some harsh stuff about... black people that are Democrats. Look that up on Google.
Whoa. You know what I like, about the Malcolm X?
I like him.
You know what I liked about him?
What's that?
He went down the path of violence and like the righteous anger, and then he figured out, you know, nonviolence is the way to do it.
Yeah.
I love Malcolm X. Actually think that I'm more of a Malcolm guy than a Martin guy. Is that weird? I mean Martin Mull. No, Martin Luther King.
I'm a fan of Martin Luther King.
I like them both, but I tend to like Malcolm X a little more. I think he was...
They were ultimately, I mean, they were two sides of the same coin. And, you know, much like this country, everyone ultimately wants the same thing. They want prosperity. They want good jobs. It's just everyone thinks there's a different way or a better way of getting it. And that's what they
correct.
Pursue.
That is correct. And this is the big, like, the big takeaway from the show.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody wants prosperity. Everyone wants jobs. This is really, really nice that you said that. They want prosperity. They want jobs. There's just a couple different ways of thinking, like, how do you do it best?
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I am a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
I am a – I believe in people.
Yeah.
I do not believe in a government think tank that decides it for me. I don't think any government think tank, any team of scientists would come up with the light bulb. I just don't think they would do it.
Yeah.
But I think a dude by the name of Tommy Edison, who's like, I'm going to try it. Like, somebody has that idea. I don't think a government think tank comes up with radio. But you know who does?
The free market.
Tesla.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
We give credit to Marconi, but it was really Tesla, that wacky dude who did it. I 50 states, everybody has like little experiments. Everybody thinks I have a better way of doing it. I can build a better mousetrap, da 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 da. And you've got all that wonderful stuff percolating across the country. Government isn't regulating it. There, people can just, you know, respect one another's private property, then try to make the best out of this wacky life we're living, and then watch the wonderful things that'll happen.
Yeah.
And it's and there you go. That's why I can't vote for Hillary Clinton. The big government is not the solution. It is the problem. Government has some responsibility. I'm on my soapbox now.
As you should be. Leftist party.
Government has some responsibilities, you know, protect the borders and fix the roads. That's wonderful. But once they start doling out loans, you know, everybody should get a house. Everybody, which sounds great on paper. Everybody gets a house. Everybody gets a house. Well, once you start doing the loans, then the banks are going to find a way to make money off of that, and Wall Street's going to find a way to make money. Then you're going to have gambling. And that was a brilliant movie, by the way.
The Big Short.
The Big Short.
Loved it.
That was a fantastic movie. And that's like, everybody's like, dude, it's legal.
Yep.
We're playing by the rules. And the government is paying the tab. Well, ultimately, the government is us. And the people got screwed on that. And it's just horrible.
The government used to be us.
Well, that's the right, and that's the problem now.
Yeah.
That's the other reason Trump is going. And that's like the thing with these student loans. And when the government starts saying, everybody gets to go to college, we'll give you the money. Well, then the banks are like, geez, if the government's backing up these loans, we're going to charge some crazy rates, and then blah, 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 blah. So now it's like, it's always well-meaning, but big government's not the solution. That's me. Da, 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 da. That was the More You Know music.
I like it.
I owe BMI $10,000. I did too much. We should do some Michaeltopias. We should do, you know what else we should do?
What's that?
While you guys are like on your iPads and whatnot, we should do some stupid state laws. Let's look up some more of those. That was always fun.
That was.
Stupid state laws. I got my Professor Snape wand ready to go. I'm dorking out. You know what's cool now? It's like, as much as you couldn't be a nerd as a kid. I'm a grown man, and you can just totally nerd out. Like, this is the golden age. Like, Deadpool, the movie, mm-hmm. Batman versus Superman. I'm going to go see that tonight with my kids. There's a new Star Wars out. There's Harry Potter land. It's just nerd.
I walked out of
the... It's nerdvana.
I walked out.
Did I just make that up? Did I just make up nerdvana?
I think we need to trademark that immediately.
Ooh, yeah. I'm writing that down. It is nerdvana. Cub, as you are, as a friend. It's Milhouse. It's nerdvana. Hey, Courtney, give me that. Never mind.
No. It's just
I always go to a PG-13 place.
That's fine. It's just you're touching on some really not so strong ground when you start messing with the Nirvana fans. People still love their Kurt Cobain, and they hate Courtney Love.
They do. They do. And God bless them. I keep watching these documentaries that just make me. I love me the Kurt Cobain too. And you know what I really love, and this
What's
is
that?
Probably a lot of people already ought to know this. The Smells Like Teen Spirit.
Oh yeah.
The story behind that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say this for the listeners, and if you don't know it, here's what I love about Smells Like Teen Spirit. Kurt Cobain was dating this girl. He would crash at her place all the time. She had a roommate that didn't really like Kurt. He was like in this band, Nirvana. They hadn't really didn't do anything. But Kurt Cobain would have to borrow his girlfriend's deodorant, and she used Teen Spirit deodorant. Remember that? You know that deodorant? Teen Spirit.
Yep. I wear it.
Well, she would make fun of him because he smelled like that deodorant. So one night she put some graffiti on the bedroom wall. Kurt smells like Teen Spirit. And Kurt is like, that is awesome.
Yeah.
I smell like Teen Spirit. And he turned that into something awesome. And if that was all he ever did with his life, he is a bright, shining star that I salute.
I still think
like,
that...
That somebody like, neener, 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 and he turned it into something awesome.
And he made a bunch of money off their insult.
That is America, baby. Yeah. That is wonderful. And I'm sorry you couldn't live with that, Kurt. And if you're listening somewhere on an island with Jim Morrison and super old... Yeah, and
they're
Tupac.
They're in Cuba, I heard. That's what I
and
read.
And now they got to find a new island to live
in. I read it in Weekly World News that
that's great.
Kurt Cobain and Tupac are hanging out in Cuba together, and they're really alive with Elvis.
In Nirvana, Elvis has got to be dead.
No.
You know what? He didn't die on the toilet either.
Is that not true?
Yeah, it's not true.
Damn.
That's an urban legend.
He was trying
to get to the phone. He was going for help.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't. Yeah, that's too bad. So, do we have stupid state laws?
I've got some stupid state laws.
Stupid state
laws.
The stupid state laws. I figured if we joined BMI, we might as well get the most out of it.
Okay.
I got a handful of stupid state laws. What do you got?
I got some dumb ones.
Go for it.
In Minnesota, any game in which participants attempt to capture a greased or oiled pig is illegal.
What?
The same laws also prohibits turkey scrambles.
Oh, it's animal cruelty?
It is,
yes. To chase a greased pig?
I don't think it's cruel. I think it's just fun.
I tell you what, we used to do this thing at the swimming pool where I grew up on the 4th of July. They used to cover a watermelon in Vaseline, and they'd put it in the pool, and you had to try to get it out of the pool, so you'd have, like, all these people, like, scrambling to... That is fun, dude. That is fun. No insurance waiver was undersigned. People are getting thumbs and elbows to the ribs, and eyeballs are getting gouged. But man, oh man, that's a good time. I can see why you wouldn't want to do the greased pig, though. You can't do that to a pig.
No.
You're not going to catch him. He's greased.
No.
He's going to have a great time.
He's going to have a blast. It's going to be traumatic. Can you imagine if somebody covered you in Vaseline? And
oh, I imagine that all the time.
I'm scarred forever by that image, Jason.
All right.
It's beautiful.
And you can't do it with a turkey either? Wouldn't the turkey fly away?
I don't know.
Do you cover the turkey in Vaseline?
I have no idea what they're talking about.
That's not right.
All right. So this is actually a local city law from Paulding, Ohio.
From Paulding?
Yes.
Never heard of it.
Well, in Paulding,
that's my home state.
Policemen are allowed to bite a dog if they think it will calm the dog down.
I could see that.
What? The policeman can bite a dog if they think it'll... I have never been in a situation where I think, you know what? This dog's pretty excitable. I should probably bite him.
Show him who the boss is.
Why would you bite a dog to calm it down? That seems like some cop had the worst excuse ever. Why were you chewing on that dog? I thought it would calm him down.
Yeah.
He would look pretty, he was out of it, so I bit him to calm him down. Is that a thing? Oh, yeah. big time, everybody knows that. You bite a dog to calm it down.
And then he's also sitting on the city council, so the next day when they have their meeting, I would like to propose that you can bite a dog.
What do you got, Jason?
In Virginia.
Over Jenny.
Except for married couples, sex is banned. Completely
what?
Banned. No matter your age or your partner's, breaking the law is a class 4 misdemeanor. I've broken that law in Virginia several times at the Funny Bone Comedy Club.
You're a wanted man.
I am.
You're a wanted
Dude,
man.
I shouldn't be admitting that.
Really? Like, premarital sex is against the law?
No, just sex of any kind.
No. They're saying if you're married, it's okay.
Married couples are allowed.
Okay.
Any other kind, though.
Well, that's not good. That's not good. This is the Puritans actually had this problem. If you go back and you look at, like, the Mayflower people mm-hmm. that came over.
Yep.
Because they wanted to be pure and driven snow, good people. They, like, stopped fornicating. And there's, like, records of, like, the priests and the reverends and the pastors, like, in their sermons. Like, listen, you guys, this is a big country.
Yeah.
We need to make some babies up in here. And I would like to do that, too. If you are an intelligent person and you're in a loving relationship and you and your wife are both smart and you're thinking, should we have babies? Should we? The answer is yes. Please, for the love of God, do. Stupid people are replicating at such an insane rate. Smart people, we got to catch up. But the thing is, smart people are always like, I don't know if this is the right time. I don't know if we have enough space.
They're responsible.
Meanwhile, two people, look, we made another one. Here we come.
That's like, the seventh one.
Yeah. So I'm asking you. I'm begging you. Smart people, make a baby. Make a baby.
Make a few of them.
Right? Enjoy the practice.
All right, so can I do one more?
Yes, and then we got to get into Michaeltopias.
All right, so in Rhode Island, you may not sell toothpaste and a toothbrush to the same customer on a Sunday.
This one makes zero sense.
I don't get
normally,
it.
Normally I can reverse engineer and kind of figure out where it came from. How did that – what the – what? You cannot sell
know.
A toothbrush
and toothpaste.
And toothpaste to the same person on a Sunday.
That is correct.
On a Thursday, it's cool.
Yeah.
Friday?
You know what it must be? Jesus doesn't want you to.
You know what I'm wondering?
I don't.
Does this have something to do with the walk of shame?
Like Saturday night,
somebody's partying, they've hooked up, and they're like, I just need a toothbrush and some toothpaste, right? Because my breath is nasty in the morning. I'll sell you a toothbrush, but I don't know. But that's what it kind of thinks. I think this is walk of shame adjacent.
Yeah, but there's nothing about mouthwash in there, and that's your real friend after a walk of shame.
Really? It is fast. It is efficient.
Yep.
Mouthwash. Has mouthwash gone away?
No.
Are
used
still
it this morning.
It?
Used it this morning.
What's your brand?
I'm either a Listerine, but I'm trying Crest right now.
Really?
Yes.
Now, is this the Listerine with all the booze in it? With
yes.
all the alcohol?
It's got a little bit of alcohol
I hear
in
that's
it.
Bad, because that's a Bernie.
It's got a little bit of burn, but
I bet
you know,
it does.
It really takes care of all the problems that's got going on.
It's killing everything. It's killing everything.
Exactly.
And there's a great buzz that comes along with it. Do a couple shots of Listerine.
I don't think you're supposed to drink it.
Oh, sure you are. Sure you are. Absolutely. Let's dip into some Michaeltopias.
Okay.
Let's go into the Michaeltopias. You can live anywhere you want in America, in this world. And it's crazy and it's cuckoo and it doesn't make sense, but it does make sense in one place. My brain. A place I like to call Michaeltopia. Join me, won't you? What do you got for Michaeltopia? Andrew, you're up, buddy.
Okay, so in Michaeltopia, cable companies need to get it together to give the people their baseball. There are two major cities with two major teams, New York and Los Angeles, who are not carrying the only station that allows people to watch the local team. Comcast is not carrying the Yankees, and Los Angeles has been in a huge problem recently because Time Warner has the exclusive rights to the Dodgers, and they want to charge everyone out the wazoo to pay for the Sportsnet LA that carries the Dodgers, and no one wants to pay it.
You know what I say?
What's that?
I agree. And this is where I call on the citizens of America to boycott. Don't listen. As these guys start squabbling over all this money that they think is there, we can get them, we can get them, we can get them. Stop. Stop watching. Have you been to a baseball game recently?
Yes, it's amazing.
They're so much fun.
Yeah.
I love going to baseball. It's so expensive. It's gotten out of control.
Yes.
It is now officially, I think it's been out of control for years, but now we'll say it's officially out of control. And this is the problem too. Let Time Warner and Comcast, let them duke it out. Go ahead, duke it out. I'm not going to watch. I'm not going to watch baseball on TV. How about that? Then you don't get any money. What do you want? You want some or none? That's your choice. In Michaeltopia, if you're going to broadcast baseball, your choice is some money or no money. Booyah. That's a great one.
Okay.
And I love baseball.
Clayton Kershaw, American
Hero. Oh, my gosh. I was there when he pitched a no-hitter. Here's the deal. A little something about me. I know the show's going long, but maybe that's just the God wanting us to do an hour. I had gone to professional baseball games before in Cleveland, right? Right up the road from Columbus. I would go play this comedy club, Hilarities Comedy Club, where I'd play the improv in Cleveland. And the wonderful thing is the ballpark's right around the corner. I met a cop who worked there, and I could get into the games for free after, the second inning. When you go to see a Cleveland Tribe, a Cleveland Indians game, there's an expectation that you will lose, right? No matter how big the lead is, there's, this feeling that permeates the stadium.
That's not good.
It's not. But that was, my normal, right? It's that was normal for me. Mm-hmm. So a couple years ago, I'm like, I'm going to go to some Dodger games. I got kids. I'm going to go. Da-da-da.
They don't have that, do
There's
they?
The weirdest thing that happens at a Dodger game. There's an expectation of winning. And everybody has it. And it is beautiful. And it is so awesome. And it was I saw the sun for the first time in my life. Mm-hmm. The Dodgers are, I don't even know, I think we're playing Arizona or something. We're down by three runs. You're going into the sixth inning. And everybody around you was like, yep, this is when we win. And I'm like, no, this is Cleveland. This is when we lose. And they're like, no, this is L.A. It's when we win. And then, Puig comes out and just crushes a home run, a couple runs score. Oh, my God. Clayton Kershaw comes in, shuts him. He pitched a no-hitter. I was at that game. I've got video of it on my phone. It was magic, and it is a wonderful, wonderful. I take my kids to games when I can scrape up enough money to go. It is fantastic. And going to a baseball game, it truly is magical and fun, and anything can happen, and it's in Michaeltopia, we protect the great game of baseball. Mm-hmm. It's a good, good game. I'm wondering what's going to happen to Puig's family back in Cuba.
Ooh. That's a conversation that we don't have time for on this podcast.
They're being held hostage. This guy. It's a crazy. They've been doing it in hockey for a long time.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean they're holding
a player will come over to Canada or the United States from Russia to play hockey, and then back home in his home village where he learned, the mobsters, the bad guys, are like, hey, I know you're making a lot of money playing hockey in America. If you want nothing to happen to your family back here in Yakutsk, you will give us $50 million.
That's wild.
Yeah. And it's old school, and that's, I know, Puig's family. Yeah. So hopefully with Cuba opening up, he can protect, but that's not funny. It's not a Michaeltopia.
It's interesting, though.
Oh, it's completely
interesting. Yeah, I had no idea. That's pretty wild. Here's one of my Michaeltopias this week. If I'm on the freeway, and Michaeltopia.
Yes.
If you pass somebody on the freeway, if they pass you.
Right.
And they get in front of you.
Yes.
They got to drive faster than you.
Yes.
Don't tailgate me for 20 minutes, then get around me and cut me off and then drive slower than me. You just want to be in front of me? You don't want to actually...
Here is the weird thing that I found about driving in Los Angeles. And I'm it's very, very hacky, but I do a joke in my act about driving in Los Angeles because and a lot of comics do, blah, blah, blah.
Well, there's an issue
there. I think
mine
is different, but there are so many people on the roads that there is no fast lane. In the rest of America, and people in Los Angeles, our listeners need to know this, and I think in D.C. it's happening in Atlanta and other, but in the rest of the country, there's this thing called the fast lane, and that is for going fast and passing people.
It's the passing lane, really,
don't pass people on the right, and if you're going slow, you get out of that far left-hand lane, and it's just non-existent in L.A. There's just so many people going
get in the far left lane and just camp out at 40.
Oh, it's...
And you're what are you doing?
It's
You're
amazing.
Screwing it up for everybody.
It is amazingly bad. It's amazingly bad. So in Michaeltopia, you go fast in the fast lane.
Yeah, you actually pass. You don't.
In Michaeltopia, in L.A. Michaeltopia, there's just people everywhere. It's just pandemonium. It's like that scene from Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman.
Eyes Wide Shut.
Not Eyes Wide Shut. No, the one where they're the land grab, the Oklahoma land rush or whatever. There was this horrible movie where Tom Cruise was from Ireland and Nicole Kidman.
Oh, yeah.
I blocked it out.
Oh, yeah. Ron Howard directed it. They were immigrants, and they did this thing where the first people who put a stick in the thing. That's what it is. That's what Los Angeles traffic is. Los Angeles traffic is a bad Ron Howard movie.
I'm seeing it in a lot of other places, too. People just...
All right. I wish I had a Michaeltopia.
I got another one.
Okay. Do it.
All right. In Michaeltopia, stop pushing your presidential candidate on Facebook. I don't care who Timmy that works at the BP really wants me to vote for. And especially don't push the guy who's trying to bribe you with your own money.
I don't understand that last part.
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders is literally trying to bribe people with their own money. It's the dumbest thing I ever saw in my life.
What he's saying is...
Yeah, walk me through this.
So college should be quote-unquote free.
Right.
But in Jason's perspective of it, college is going to be paid for by the taxpayers. Now, who are the taxpayers?
Right.
Us. So what we're really doing is the government's going to take money from us and then give it back to us,
Michael,
and call it free.
I'll give you this free coffee. Give me $2.
Oh, I understand.
All right, now here's
that.
The coffee. Well, I just paid for it. It's not – no, it's free. Well, no, it's not free.
Right. Okay, so here's my Michael. Here's my little spin on that. In Michaeltopia, if the first cup of coffee at BP is horrible, your second cup is not free. I've never understood that. They're like, if this coffee isn't tasty and fresh, the second cup's free.
We'll give you another horrible cup.
Who does that? Who walks into a 7-Eleven and goes, this is nasty. You want another one for free?
No. I didn't like the first one.
Right? Papa John's Pizza was doing that for a while. If it's not good, we'll give you another one.
No. We'll give you one even worse. You'll love it.
You'll think that first one was awesome. Like, that's not a promotion. It's not even. It's a horrible apology. Here's what it should be. Like, if our coffee isn't fresh and hot and tasty, here's a coupon for coffee bean and tea leaf. Mm. How about that?
That makes more sense.
Right? That's what it should
be. If you don't like your coffee, we will give you a Starbucks coffee.
No, because that's going to be nasty. Because Starbucks makes horrible coffee.
Yeah.
I love it.
I said it.
You
love their coffee?
So, let me tell you the secret. You have to go and you have to get a pour over. Because then they make it fresh, and their beans are actually pretty good.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah,
so what's a pour over?
They literally make an individual cup for you.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, then I'll try that.
Yeah,
but their coffee always tastes burnt.
Yeah.
It always tastes burnt. I'm like, how are they popular? How is this place?
But
it's like going to McDonald's and every hamburger's lousy. You'd be like, gotta get me my McDonald's. Like, how are you? Oh, and by the way, in Long Island, I don't know if I talked about this. I found this place, All American Burger. I'm still just, I'm missing it. I'm missing it right now. The best hamburger, just like old school and the shakes. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, Starbucks coffee, pour over.
Yep.
That's what I want to get.
That's what you got to do.
Pour over's good.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, is that on the menu?
No.
I mean, well, it's...
See, it's not. It's secret.
Okay. Here's my Michaeltopia to close out the show. In Michaeltopia, there are no more secret menus, right? You go to In-N-Out Burger in Los Angeles. If you're listening
from
somewhere else...
Tell me what's the secret menu on In-N-Out, because I go there.
Animal style? There's all these little...
What's animal style?
Wait. I can't tell if you're being serious right now or not.
I go to the In-N-Out Burger now and then.
And you don't know about the secret menu?
There's
no.
Yes. There's little variations that they don't advertise. But if you talk about it, they
get
know
out of
it.
Here.
Yes.
What are they?
Like, animal style is for people who are doing that Atkins diet thing, and they just want like.
Well,
you're thinking of protein style. Okay, there's protein.
So, how do they give it to you?
So, protein style. Yeah, it's no bun. Just comes in some lettuce.
They wrap it in lettuce.
Animal style, they load it up for you. There's grilled onions and Thousand Island dressing with their special mixes.
What's another one?
Can I get a pour over?
No, you cannot get a pour over.
That's the secret. That's the secret.
The
Starbucks
grilled cheese.
Menu. The grilled cheese.
Yeah.
It's not on the menu, but you
no
can get
idea.
It if you ask for it. At Starbucks, there used to be a thing where they would just give you a cup of coffee. What I would do is I'd get a cup of coffee and then I'd have steamed milk put on it.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's no longer on the menu.
Nope.
But if you go, can I get a cup of coffee and some steamed milk? They go, oh, a misto. They even have a name for their phony baloney little secret menu stuff.
Exactly.
Not a fan of Starbucks. I got to say, there's something...
Love it.
That's great. Good for you. Good for the rest of America. There's something just really... There's something fishy.
I really shouldn't go there. It is very big business, corporate.
They got their music, CD.
I should go to like mom and pop shop.
It's like anything else. It's convenient.
It is.
And that's the appeal.
It's $9
corner,
for a cup of coffee.
But that's something that you can just get in a matter of minutes on your way and... You know, you don't have to worry about getting that nice French press out. Because I like to do a French press every morning, and it takes a good, 20 minutes, to boil the water, let it sit, let it simmer.
It's worth the wait, though.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a wonderful cup of coffee.
Oh, my gosh. In South Africa, this hotel I stayed at, mm-hmm. they did the French press. They just came out with a little pot, and they're like, just let that sit for a couple minutes, mm-hmm. and then that's a good cup of coffee.
Yeah.
What a hassle. That's like an environmental nightmare. Because, like, each pot has to be cleaned out.
Yeah.
That's a good cup of coffee.
Yes, it is.
They have those at Starbucks. You know that, right?
Yes.
It's a secret thing.
Yep.
It's a secret. Gotta ask a secret, secret, secret. You have to use a crazy little language. Stop. In Michaeltopia, there is no crazy little made-up language for your own little restaurant. That's another thing. Like Starbucks, you're like, I want a large. And they'll, like, what's their word for
venti.
Large? Venti.
Yeah.
Like, no, stop it.
That drives me nuts,
me too.
Grande like, is
you've
the
got
small...
a secret language and a secret menu. What else are you hiding back there?
So here...
Like a satellite that has a death ray?
And it's all backwards. Because at Starbucks, a small, they call a tall, right?
Yes.
And then the medium is a grande?
And
yes.
Stop trying to trick me. Like other places now, oh my gosh. You'll go, I'll take a small soda. And they'll go, we don't have small. We have medium and large. Then I want to smack them and go, okay, so which one's bigger? The large. So I want the smaller version of that.
Yeah.
You bang. And that just like...
We've literally turned into grumpy old men at this point.
You know what? In a way, but it's so, like, I need this. I need this. Like, I feel so much better after I do stand-up when
yeah.
I can, like, just vent, right? Mm-hmm. And this mm-hmm. is what this is. And it's wonderful, and it's good. And I appreciate everybody being so patient and listening to this extended version
yes.
of the Loftus Party.
So before we hit the theme music,
yes.
let's remind people.
Oh, see, this is why we have Andrew here. What's he going to do, Jason?
He's going to tell you to follow @FlipsideLoftus on Twitter.
I bet he's
going to
do it in a cooler way.
He's going to... I thought I was pretty cool there.
No.
Oh.
You were like literally scratching your head. You had to think about it. What is it, Andrew?
So please remember, if you do like the show, if you enjoy it, take a moment, head over to iTunes, rate us 5 stars, leave a nice comment, and that's how people find the show.
That is true.
Yep. Also, make sure to go like The Flip Side with Michael Loftus on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter @FlipsideLoftus.
Yes.
And you can follow all of us individually on Twitter and
that is
Instagram
correct.
As well.
And this is something I also wanted to do. You guys have a couple of very, and I have a special treat for you that
okay.
I'm going to try to make happen.
I appreciate
because,
that.
Because, Andrew, you're involved in a podcast, and yours is what?
Well, it's called So Fresh, So Prince. We
yes.
wanted to do a very 90s-centric podcast, so we're rewatching every episode of The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, the Will Smith classic,
right.
week by week, and we talk about how it holds up.
I met... and was working with a writer on that show, and I think I might be able to get you the hookup. I might be able to get you access to a young man by the name of Will Smith.
If you do that.
Could, right? Okay, so that's...
I will be even more in
see,
your debt
than
I already
this is how it's supposed to
am.
Work. Like a little artistic
hey, I got a
community.
Podcast. I want Will Smith on my podcast, Michael.
I was looking at you. You were next. You also have a podcast that you're very fond of.
Yeah, but I don't got Will Smith coming on my podcast.
I got someone for you.
How about Michael Loftus? That'd
there
be good
go.
For me. That'd
Look
be a
that.
Big win.
What's the name of your podcast?
The Road to Ruin on iTunes.
How do you spell ruin?
R-U-I-N. The
okay,
Road
I
to
thought
ruin.
You were doing something interesting with it, but you're going to go textbook.
Yeah, well, it's... It's a travel podcast, and we tell funny...
That'd be the worst podcast ever. It's The Road to Ruin, but I spell ruin with 2 R's.
Ruin.
Yeah, right?
It's The Road to Ruin.
OOI, capital N, lowercase n, space.
That's I've like had, an I, old had, AOL screen name.
Right? And the letter E is a 3.
I just had a guy on my podcast. You would love this guy. His name's BJ Nelson. You know these commercials? He's the most interesting man in the world. I actually know the real guy, not an actor. This guy is a jiu-jitsu champion.
Mm-hmm.
He was actually one of the first guys sent into Afghanistan after 9/11.
Wow.
Does all kinds of great charity work for poor people in Nicaragua and all over the world. Just a fascinating dude. I just had Melissa Archer, who was on One Life to Live and Days of Our Lives, and I want to have Michael Loftus on. And
it's
when
a very
are we...
eclectic mix.
It is, but everyone's talking about travel, and I will have to say, Jason, having listened to the podcast, I appreciate your witty and self-deprecating hosting humor.
Thank you, sir. Well, I gotta make fun of myself.
Yeah.
And we do, too.
I don't have you guys
weird
to do
looking.
It. That's a fact.
Thanks for listening to the Loftus Party. I love it. Thanks for listening. Tell your neighbors. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. I'll see you next time.